You're listening to TGC Q&A, a new podcast from the Gospel Coalition, where each week you'll hear conversations between members of our council and friends who provide their unique perspective on your most pressing spiritual questions. I'm your host, Stephen Morales, and our team is excited to bring you our first community podcast. As an organization, the Gospel Coalition encompasses not just pastors, authors, and church leaders. It also involves you, Christians from around the globe in different sectors, denominations, and even continents, who love Jesus and seek to help apply the gospel to all of life. To help gather what kind of questions we should be answering on TGC Q&A, we want to hear from you, our listeners. What ministry or life challenges are you facing? What are those difficult texts you're struggling with in the scriptures? Whatever your doubts or questions may be, this new podcast is a space where we hope to share biblical insight to help answer life's questions together and find some hope along the way. To submit a question, send us a message on Twitter or Instagram, or email us at ask@tgc.org. We'd love to hear from you. In our very first episode, we are joined by our founders, Don Carson and Tim Keller. And today's question is, what are some of the most common objections you've heard against Christianity, and how should we respond?
Okay, Don, you and I both do university missions. We're still not completely been put out to pasture on the evangelism front. So what are some of the main questions you get and from people who are skeptical of Christianity right now, and how do you answer them?
Let me be perverse for a moment, coming from the side door.
Okay.
I still want to argue that it's probably easier to do university evangelism today than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah? Why?
Partly because 20, 30, 40 years ago, a lot of university students were still fighting off the background of their own history in Judeo-Christian thought. They were still rebelling. Nowadays, they're so bone ignorant about classic Christianity that they don't know enough to rebel. I mean, you approach them courteously, and they'll respond with a certain degree of courteous interest.
Okay.
You used to get heckled. It's much less likely to get heckled today.
Okay. We're in that side door. I haven't gotten heckled either, so I grant that. What are some of the questions?
Perhaps the most offensive thing to university students today is the exclusive claims of Christ.
Right.
So the question shows up in many different forms. How can you say that unless you're a Christian, you're going to hell?
Right.
Or, yeah, but what about all the Hindus? Or swap from Muslims or Buddhists or whatever. So it's the exclusive claims of Christ that are perhaps the most offensive thing in the contemporary climate.
What would you say to that one? At least in a nutshell, or where would you start?
It depends how it comes. If somebody says, you're not going to send everybody to hell, are you?
Yeah.
Then I like what Randy Newman suggests. Answer with a question.
Right. Yes.
You know? So,
yes.
Surely you don't think that nobody goes to hell, do you?
Yes. Yeah, see, you want to, that's right. That's the first question. You say, so you don't mind Hitler and Idi Amin and people like that?
Yeah.
All. In other words, you don't want anybody going to hell. And then they say, well...
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Well, then what are the criteria for who goes to heaven?
Yeah,
and who
that's
goes?
Right.
So suddenly you're into a serious conversation that traditional apologetics would be concerned about, but you've got in it through a side door, as it were, about what holiness is and who God is and accountability to him and alienation from him.
And, right. And then here's how I'd complete it. Then I say, okay, since we do agree that if there is a God, that there would be some people go to heaven, some people would not. I said, you can either say all good people go to heaven. That sounds very egalitarian until you realize, what about us bad people? And also, what about people who came up in an abusive home and were beaten? And they're never going to be just right, you see. So you're being exclusive. You're saying good people get in, bad people get out. I'm a Christian, and I say anybody who asks for the mercy of Christ, the abusive person, the prostitute, the mafia man who kills people for a living, they can get in too. And I say, I would actually say that the people who are humble enough to ask for a Savior are in, and the people who are too proud are out. Everybody's exclusive in some way. And I feel like my exclusivity is a more inclusive exclusivity than yours.
Yes.
So that's one way to go. What's another objection or question?
Anything that makes sin really offensive, anything that wrestles with a biblical clarity about sin being bound up with offense before God, against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. David would say, even after he's committed adultery and murder, and in a sense he's sinned against all kinds of people, what makes sin sin, what makes it so ugly, is precisely that it's an offense against God. Right. Whereas most people today in a university environment think of sin as sociologically defined. It's a, it's a cultural definition and has no eternal status, no fundamental repulsion.
Right.
And unless you get clarity on the nature of sin, you can't get clarity on the nature of the cross. You can't get clarity on the nature of salvation unless you see what the problem is. And that's a biggie.
Yes, that's really good. I mean, two ways to get at that. One is to say, if somebody wrongs you, let's just say somebody does something illegal to you, it's not only a violation of the law, it's also a violation of you.
Yeah.
And there's going to be anger because you're a person. And what I heard some years ago, I heard this great illustration by an Australian evangelist. You may have heard it too, where he gives the illustration of a woman who put her son, her only son, through school at great cost to herself. And she said to him, I want you to always work hard and care for the poor once you come into your career. So he comes out and he goes into his career and he works hard and he cares for the poor, but he never calls her. He never acknowledges anything. And he maybe sends her a Christmas card, but he just ignores her. And then you ask the person, what do you think about that? After all, that person is doing a fine.
Exactly what she said.
That's right, and he's being very moral. And the person who I'm talking to would say, but he owes her his whole life.
Yes.
And the relationship has got to be there, or even though he's a nice guy and he's a moral guy, he's actually still, in a sense, sinning. And so, I think with illustrations like that, people begin to say, oh, if there is a God, then sin would have to be an offense against him because he keeps us alive every second. We owe him everything. So I actually do think, again, that's a really, really great way to go with that. And I think that's also a key problem, objection of a lot of skeptical people, and I think that's a great way to answer.
Thanks so much for listening to the first episode of TGC Q&A. Remember, you can send us a question via Twitter or Instagram or email us at ask@tgc.org. We don't want you to miss all the exciting episodes we have coming your way, so remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All our episodes are recorded on video as well, so if you're more of a visual person, check us out on YouTube or Instagram TV. Thanks again for listening to today's episode, and we hope you join us again next week.